Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
I have in my hand a relatively new book. I could call it a brand new book, but it's been out just a few weeks, and the name of the book is Healthy Church by Design, and it's by Timothy Songster.
Timothy A.
We've always called him Tim, but on the book, he became a Timothy. There's going to be a lot that we could say about this book. But first of all, Tim, welcome to Rainer on Leadership.
It's an honor to be with you today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we'll be talking about a certain part of this book. We're always grateful to Costco. We love what you're doing. When we talk about Costco, we always say churchdesign.com, and we point people to there, because you're our favorite design build firm, but, you do a lot of things. I mean, I know you've been involved in renovations with, I'm trying to think of the name of the church that I recently was at. West Bradenton Baptist Church. Is that one where you're doing a renovation?
That would be your song.
That would be it. Did you watch the mauve dirty carpet come out, or did you miss that occasion?
Is it gone?
I don't know.
I really wanted to save a piece for Sam, just so you could have it to remember what it looked like before.
All you got to do is just get a nasty piece of carpet and make it look kind of purple, and he would think that would be it. And it seems like you've been talking to a guy that's started a church a couple of years ago and bought some land and maybe looking to build. Jess Rainer, Church at Spring Hill. And hopefully you'll be sooner than later, and that's our call, not yours, that building, his first facility. He's doing a rental facility. So the point I'm trying to make in this to the listeners is we don't just believe in Costco as a design build firm. We use Costco.
It's like the hair club for men there.
I don't know anything about a hair club for men. Why are you talking about hair clubs?
No, I'm just saying that I'm not just the president. I'm a client, too.
Oh, okay.
That was his whole spiel.
Not that I would know anything about that.
I was just looking
obviously.
I was just looking over there. And hair club? Where did that come from, Jonathan? Okay, Jonathan, we're going to talk about a part of what Tim wrote in Healthy Church by Design. But before we do that, we thank our sponsor, Midwestern Seminary.
Yes, at just 81 hours, their flagship degree program of the Master of Divinity degree gives you a complete foundation for full-time ministry, offering everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church, or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv.
Okay, Jonathan, I have read the entirety of this book, and one of the reasons that I read the entirety of the book is because I wrote the foreword to the book.
There you go.
And I got to see this book in the in its construction stage, and I started with this word that I repeated again and again. Tim Songster knows churches. Boy,
there you go.
He really does know churches. Costco knows churches. So what are we going to talk about from his brand new book, Healthy Church by Design?
He also knows 7 keys to protecting your ministry during your building program.
Tim, why would is that ever a problem in a church? I mean, do things ever get contentious or tense in church building programs?
Never. And one of the two books that you wrote are two of my favorites. One is Who Moved My Pulpit? And I think you wrote that book for me for church building programs. It's perfect for someone who's in a building program.
Yeah.
But then the other one is the scrappy church, because, you know, you never have a scrappy on a church building committee. That never happens.
I one of these days we're going to interview you, and I think this would be a great podcast. You'd have to be careful because you'd probably reveal too much client information on funny and challenging stories from church building programs.
I got a lot of content for that.
Yeah, you do. We just don't want to make any of your clients mad if you have to do it, but we'll save that for another time. All right. So, Tim, tell us why And again, it may be self-evident. Why are you talking to us about protecting your ministry during a building program?
Well, one of the things that we've got to do is we go into a building program, we've got to set our expectations correctly. A lot of times I see clients stepping into a building program, they really haven't thought through getting themselves prepared, getting their house in order. One of the things that I point out here that's really important is that any problem that exists already in your ministry seems to be magnified several times in a building program. So whether it be a leadership issue, a morality issue, a team unity issue, it really comes out, unfortunately, in a building program. So you've got to get your house in order. And there's no such thing as a perfect set of plans. There's no such thing as a perfect construction project. There's going to be problems. There's going to be challenges. So it's how you handle these challenges as a team that makes a difference. And we need to learn as Christians, as brothers in Christ, and especially as leaders in ministry, how to respond when a crisis hits. So when a crisis occurs, we're going to need to respond quickly, gently, and generously.
You don't hear this from a lot of design build firms. You don't hear it from those in the church building business a whole lot, but you emphasize this second point to prepare yourself spiritually.
Yeah, and I love the fact that God gave us 66 books of the Bible that prepare us for life, but there's three that are really, really critical. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Haggai are some of the most awesome books for a building program to prepare us and what to expect. And preparing spiritually individually is incredibly important. Keeping the main thing, what we learn in Ezra is after 70 years of Babylonian captivity, when Israel returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, they needed to begin by getting back to the basics. They got back, established the sacrifices, the festival of booths. But for us, it's worship. It's reading the Bible. It's prayer, fasting, fellowship, being ready spiritually for what's about to happen. And you said something in your book, Tom, I can mention. You said, in Who Moved My Pulpit, that you've never seen a successful, sustained change take place in church without prayer. Never. And I would say I've never seen a successful building program happen without prayer being a priority.
What are some examples of how churches can pray through a building program?
Well, number one, praying for wisdom, for God to give us wisdom as we go through this, to deal with the challenge of a building program, to pray for courage to get through it, to pray for strength. But don't forget to be praying for your professionals that you're working with. One of the things I think that's forgotten a lot of times is the opportunity that you have to reach people for Christ. There's going to be numerous professionals, whether it be designers or construction workers, that are going to step into your church that would never have come into your church for any other reason. And you have an opportunity to be Christ to them. You have an opportunity to minister to them. And I've seen worker after worker, when the church does it right, come to know the Lord and get saved and increase their maturity in their own spiritual life because of the impact the church makes on them.
You know what I want to add to it, Jonathan?
What?
Zechariah.
Okay.
Zechariah
4. Because it goes with Haggai.
Well, it does go. It's contemporaneous with Haggai. And in Zechariah 4, the angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah and basically says, wake up, dude. You're not going to build this temple. You're not going to build the house of God unless you're waking up to the power of God. And that's where you hear that passage, not by power, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. So I like that for building programs, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
All right. The third key that you list here is to prioritize your ministry needs. Is that with the building? Like, make sure you're building what your ministry actually needs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every ministry needs to first understand their ministry. And that may not make a lot of sense, but I've seen so many churches try to take their ministry and fit it into a building. Rather than really understanding the ministry needs and wrapping that building around the ministry, it makes a whole lot more sense if you can understand the unique DNA, how God has called you to reach your community and wrap the building around those ministry needs. So it begins with meeting with the various ministry teams. And I like to go first and worship with the church. I like to experience a Sunday morning, the good, the bad, the ugly, to really understand what God is doing in that ministry. But then to sit down with each ministry team and understand a prioritized list of needs for each ministry. Where are they weak? Where are they strong? What issues exist? And what things could we do to help them do ministry better and help their tool become a better tool for their ministry?
Now, what's some examples that you've seen of churches that may have gotten this wrong?
Rick Warren got this right when he said, The secret of church health is balance. You know, in our body systems are in balance, we're healthy. When our body systems get out of balance, we're unhealthy. And it's the same in the church. Healthy growth is achieved through the right balance of ministry, enhanced with correct facilities and not infected by the wrong facilities. So whether it be the parking, the worship space, the small group space, connection space, preschool children's space, you're limited by whatever is the weakest element. And sometimes churches just won't look at the facts of where are we truly demographically and what are the true needs of our ministry. Instead of building what seems to be the most exciting, what is the best next step for us to grow our ministry and have help?
Wow.
All right. The fourth key is to prepare the church financially.
And so this is probably surprising to hear a builder say this, but last thing I want to see a church do is take on so much debt that they put their ministry in a financial pickle. So there's a balance, and where is that balance of faith and wisdom, and how much do we borrow if we borrow money? It's the one recommendation I'd make to all churches out there is take a look at your existing budget. Now, churches typically will spend every dollar they take in ministry, won't they? So, and then some. So what is that they can, their discretionary income, where they can build a budget into their current operating budget to handle the debt service? What that does is it does a lot of beautiful things. If they build the debt service that they're going to anticipate into their existing operating budget, number one, it increases the cash. If they start paying themselves now that debt service, the cash they can put into the project.
That's good.
Number two, it reduces the amount of debt that they're going to take on. Number three, it shows them and their team and their people that they can handle that debt service and not affect ministry. Or it shows them the opposite, that they can't take on that debt service, it's going to hurt them in ministry. Number four, it allows everything they raise in the capital campaign, everything given towards the building program, to go to principal and pay down that debt quickly. And then, of course, it helps with the lenders to help them understand that the church can handle and get the best terms and conditions in their lending.
That's good. I guess you deal a lot with financial institutions in the context of these building programs.
Yeah, we do a lot to try to help put together a funding request for the churches so that they can get the best term conditions and speak the lender's language in a way that they want to be a part of the church's project and give them the best terms and conditions.
All right. Key number five is to build excellent teams. I guess, yeah, the building project with a good team versus a bad team there can really get a church out of whack.
Yeah, I love, again, going back to your book, Who Moved My Pulpit, you know, building an eager coalition for the church project is key. And part of that is being smart about your teams. Keep your building teams small, 5 to 7 people on a decision-making team and leadership. If you have a building team of 20 people, you have a great discussion, but you get nothing done. So you can have sub-teams that they report to and that we meet with that give input, but the leadership team needs to be small, 5 to 7. And the people on that team is just as important. A lot of times I've seen churches end up with a scrappy on their building team because they went out and they found somebody involved in design or somebody involved in construction, whether it be commercial or residential, to be on that team with all good intentions. But that person doesn't have any understanding of the ministry and what's going on in the church or bought into the vision of the church to move forward with the vision the pastor has. And so it becomes an obstacle rather than a blessing in the whole process of the team building. So choose individuals who are involved in the church body, who understand the ministry and are respected by the rest of the congregation to live out that vision in their life and have a lot better success.
What I'm looking at your sixth point in a healthy church by design. And by the way, we're talking to Timothy A. Songster, the author of Healthy Church by Design. You'll see in the show notes how you can pick up that book. And everybody needs to be getting this book, whether you're building or whether you're planning on building. It's an incredible just overview of the whole thing of design, building, and preparation. It has all kind of information. But I look at your sixth point, be a leader of hope and vision. And Tim, the first word that I see in that subsection is Rainer. So I got real excited. Rainer explained that when leading change, that's pretty self-promoting right there.
Oh, it hits the nail on the head. Leaders of Hope and Vision read their Bible daily. They choose to communicate hope in all situations. They look for small wins in the process, develop momentum. Let me tell you a quick story. I'll never forget Pastor David Kemp. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. Pastor David Kemp, Fort Mill, South Carolina. And the reason I'll never forget him is because the way he was a leader of Hope and Vision. Every time I met with him, and I mean every meeting, he started out with, he wanted to know how I was doing. He said, Tim, how is your spiritual life? What is God speaking into your life? What are you reading? How is your family? Have you prayed about what we're going to talk about today? And after I had those questions answered, then he wanted to get down to business. And I'll never forget that I came in there one time and we had a problem on the job. We hit some bad, unforeseen conditions in the soil underneath his building. And I went to his office and I walked in his office to share with him the bad news. It was going to cost extra money. Got in there and I saw the picture, a picture of both my boys on his desk. He had both my sons on his desk. I said, it caught me by surprise. I said, David, you know, what is that? And he said, well, that's your boys. I said, I know that's boys, but what are my boys doing on your desk? And he said, I pray over you and your family, and I pray for your boys every single day.
Wow, that's incredible.
This day, it chokes me up. I mean, at that second, I knew I had a real man that cared more about me than about what I could do for him in my ministry and my family. And so that problem went away real quick. I said, Pastor, I came here to talk to you about an issue. We don't have a problem. I'll have a nice day. Thank you for my family.
That's
and
great.
That was the end of that.
All right. And then the final key to protect your ministry during your building program is to work hard to communicate with your church.
Yeah, I think one thing that you could take away from this is I try to encourage a building team throughout the entire process, every chance they can, every time they meet, to walk back to the congregation with at least 3 points that they're really excited about. 3 things they can authentically tell the church are positives that they're moving forward with to help develop some momentum. And really this comes down to not telling the church the entire communication until you know that you know that you know that this is where you're going 100% in unity. And really what they have to communicate is 7 things. Number one, what was the process that we went through to determine our needs as a church? Number two, what are those prior needs? What are the listed of needs that we have? Number three, what does that then look like in a floor plan or an elevation to meet those needs? Number four, what does this then give us in an opportunity for growth, or how does this take us into the future? Number five, what's that going to cost? What do we think this is going to cost? Number six, how are we going to pay for it? And then the last thing is, number seven is, what are you asking me to do? If you answer those 7 things when you communicate this with your church properly, you've answered most of the objections and you've handled it in a way people can buy in and grab hold of the vision and run with it.
That's gold. That is absolute gold. Hey, as we wrap this up, and by the way, we're talking to Tim Songster. His book is Healthy Church by Design by Timothy A. Songster, as far as the author name. In the show notes, you can see the link to it. You just need to jump on it. Tim's the president of Costco and Associates. And just go to churchdesign.com and look at what they're doing. This guy and his company has been involved in over 1,000 church-related
wow.
projects. So
that's a lot.
To say he knows what he's doing, he does. That is an understatement. Tim, I know we haven't said a whole lot about this because we just launched it, but we launched Revitalize Network, and one of the things that I am looking forward to is working with you as we talk about church revitalization, especially from the facility point of view, but also you're a trained church consultant as well. In fact, you're a certified church consultant. Tell me one or two things, trends. You don't have to get into a long list, but just some of the things that are happening as we head into 2019. And by the way, the release date of this is December 28th. So by the time this drops to the audience, we'll be almost in 2019. Tell me some things that you are seeing that are relatively new trends in church building and church facilities, maybe one or two.
Well, I think one of the biggest things we're seeing is churches that have deferred maintenance for so long that they just haven't addressed their facilities. You know, unlike franchises that you see everywhere, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever, they're constantly renovating and rebranding themselves every 5-7 years. Churches have left themselves for 20, 25, 30 years without updating anything. So we're seeing a lot of churches coming back to us now saying, we have neglected. How do we maximize the use of our tool and not spend millions of dollars we can't afford?
Okay.
That's a huge market today. Downsizing their church a lot of times as well. That'd be the second thing I would say. people who have overbuilt, or they want to create more intimacy. They have a large worship center and they'd rather have multiple services with a more intimate setting. How do we change that? How do we downsize it? How do we create that intimacy?
And so you've actually dealt with some of these from the facility point of view, I take it.
Yes, sir. I'm in the middle of several of them right now.
All right. Well, I think our listeners are going to be really interested in that. One more time, the book is Healthy Church by Design by Timothy A. Songster. You can see the link. I don't encourage you to get it. I exhort you to get it. And I also exhort you to just check into Vanderblumen Search Group, our other sponsor.
Yeah, Vanderblumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vanderblumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership and for 2018. Dr. Rainer.
This is it?
On Rainer on Leadership. Yeah, last one.
Wow.
Next one will be in 2019.
And three more will be episode number 500.
I know.
100.
It's all coming together.
And we got Amy J. in the production studio. Amy J., we need virtual cupcakes. I don't know what that means, but we'll need that. Tim, thank you so much for being here. Anything else that you would like to share with the audience before we sign off? We're so appreciative. You don't just lead a design build firm, you lead a ministry, and that's a huge difference in what I see in many others.
Well, thank you. You've made such an impact in my life just being able to glean from your wisdom over the years, and I so much appreciate the opportunity to be a friend and a colleague. I'll just say this to all the churches out there that are sitting there wondering, hey, we don't have the funds to build right now. What do we do? We're in a situation that we need to do something. We know it. I'd say, you know, look at your first impressions. Have some secret guests, evaluate your facility. And the whole goal here is, like you said in your book, I don't remember which one, Tom, but I know it says,
I don't
others
either.
First. Others first is life. Me first is death. So thinking of others first and first impressions, and let the gospel of Jesus Christ be the first offense, not our facilities, not our buildings. May our buildings never be a hindrance to reaching people for Christ. And there's a lot of things we can do that don't cost a lot of money to help have good first impressions in people.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together. I want to tell you about another podcast here on the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network and the EST Podcast. Co-hosts Sam Rainer, Micah Fries, and Josh King will introduce you to experienced church leaders who are dealing with the same challenges as most others who lead established churches. In each episode, you will hear solutions to everyday issues church leaders face. So if you're a pastor or leader in an established church trying to navigate the complexities of your congregation, be sure to look up the EST Church Podcast on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.